This is the Heartland Collegiate Compendium. Principles of Microeconomics, Econ 10101. Lecture 27, delivered on the 4th of December of 2008. The title of this lecture is Review for Final Exam.
Today, review for a final exam. The final exam will be 100 questions, multiple choice. Some of them will be true and false. You've seen my distribution of those. As far as the overall appearance of the exam, when I teach a course like this, I cover all of the material before the exam. There is no new material, obviously, on the final exam. On the two midterm exams, I have probed you for every objective of the course. That gives you an insight. There's nothing going to be on that final that you have not seen on an exam, one of the two midterms, or on a quiz. Let me be a little more specific about that. I take in questions from the exams and I put them on the final. I go through and I change the orders of answers. I'll change numbers. If it's like a future values problem, I'll change the numbers for it. If I said, well, the supply curve for unskilled labor is more elastic than the supply curve for unskilled labor, true or false, on the midterm, I might say it the opposite way on the final. But I will not give you anything that you have not seen before on the exams. My theory of a course like this is that I draw a lot of blood on the exams, and you've seen that. But that's why you do so well on my final, because you have seen the material, and then you can hit the goals much better. If you think you've done not that well on the exams, study them. You will find that you will do well on the final. That's how my courses work. This goes back to an old saying in my battalion, more blood in training, less sweat in combat. By the time you get to the final, that's where I can say, did you hit the goals of this course? Did you meet my objectives? And by God, usually you do. But you got to study for it. Go back and read those signed papers that I had given you, especially pumpkins and futures, because you need to know how futures contracts work, how forward contracts work. Go back through the book, read where I and the book have met. If it's something that is in the book that I never brought up in class, then you're never going to be asked about that on an exam. If it's something that I've said in class that's not in the book, that's fair game. Be careful that way. I don't know that you would be able to go back through all of the podcasts of this semester unless you really have no life, but it might help you, especially if you can identify where your weaknesses are, to go back through the podcast, just play the lecture again, listen to it. You can sit and do that while you're enjoying yourself, hanging out, eating pizza, or not. Let me get specific here. I'm going to ask you about supply and demand dynamics. I am going to ask you over and over again on the final exam. That is a core objective of this course, is to know supply and demand dynamics. Know the theory of supply, know the theory of demand. Know why a demand curve slopes downward. Know why a supply curve slopes upward. That was a long time ago. Even as I'm thinking about that, it seems like that was like ages ago I was talking about that. Know why the law of demand exists. There's a substitution effect. Know why the law of supply exists. I want you to go back to the earliest part of this semester, back when we were all young and happy and we had the whole future in front of us. Remember the first lecture. Remember what I talked about in those first few lectures, the five factors of production, the role of greed, who is Adam Smith. I want you to know all of that. I want you to know the basics. I want you to know the fundamentals. Again, the law of supply, the law of demand. Know that there is no such thing as a law of supply and demand. I hear that so much, I want to scream at these idiot pundits on television. Know what the difference is between a change in quantity demanded and a change in demand. A change in quantity supplied and a change in supply. I promise you, I will ask one of those questions where, and I'll just draw the picture, the graph on the graphs on the board, so you can see this in action. Do you remember what I did? I drew two demand curves, and I showed arrows shifting the demand curves themselves and arrows sliding along the demand curves. Where is a change in, what is an increase in quantity demanded? What is a change in demand? One and only one thing can change quantity demanded. If I'm cruel, I could ask. As a matter of fact, yes, I am cruel. You, sir, there's one and only one thing that can change the quantity demanded of a product. What is that?
Price.
I love it when you talk like that. There's a future for us in movies. Absolutely. I give him a cookie. Don't pat him on the buttock. Give him a cookie. This is absolutely. And then the things, there are factors that shift demand curves. Like, remember some of those, like changes in prices of substitutes and complements will shift the demand curves. Changes in income, changes in expectations, changes in a lot of things will shift the demand curves themselves. But one and only one thing will shift the demand curve. They will move you along the demand curve. The same is true of supply. A change in quantity supplied is caused by a change in the price of the product. A change in the supply curve itself would have to be a change in some underlying process, change in technology, something like that. I want you to make sure you know about the law of diminishing marginal product, diminishing marginal utility, all of those diminishing. That everything, as you add more to it, you get less out. You get increases, perhaps, but they come at a smaller and smaller rate. Let me go back through here. On the final exam, a question like that one, I might be able to just hit you with a battery of, to show you those, and then just go down. Five different questions. Matter of fact, that's what I'll do. I'll tell you right now. What the hell? I'm not going to hide my hand here. By the way, this isn't poker. I'm not out to flunk. Well, yes, I am. No, I am going to put that. I'm going to say there. Now I'm going to say, all right, a change in the price of the product, an increase in the price of the product. A decrease in the price of a substitute. A drop in consumer income. Just one after the other. You tell me which one it is. A, B, C, or D. Okay? I guarantee you, if you can do that, you've got 5% on the exam right there. Supply and demand dynamics. You remember the ones where, well, the supply increase and the demand decrease, what is the resulting change in price and the resulting change in output level of the industry? You know, those kinds of questions. That's supply and demand dynamics. I will ask you those several different ways, like I said. Just make sure that you can do either the graphs or do those little tables that I showed you. To make those happen. They're really not hard once you get the hang of them. It's just remembering, and that's what studying about is all about for this. Okay. Now, that marginal revenue, marginal cost, where's profit maximization? If you did indeed get the tattoo that I wanted you to get, you may look at it for the final exam. But profit maximization occurs where marginal revenue equals marginal cost. Now, I did it on the first and second exams, asking you, what do you do if they're not equal? If you're a producer and your marginal revenue is larger than your marginal cost, what does that mean you should do? It means you should increase your output. What do you do if your marginal revenue is less than your marginal cost? Well, that's when you decrease your output. Know that. Okay. Elasticities. I'll ask you about them. I'll ask you to tell me whether if I give you a percentage change in price and a percentage change in quantity resulting, quantity demanded resulting. Are we talking about price inelastic, price elastic? What are we talking about? I will also ask you about the resulting impact on total revenues. Now this one, it's hard to get this so that it is just like instant gut answer at this point, even if you're good at economics at this point in your training. Lord knows it took me a long time to get there. So it's probably going to be more of one of the things you'll have to just kind of memorize. But let me try this on you, see if I can pick on you, Joe. You're in the inelastic portion of a demand curve and you increase your price as a producer. Will your total revenues go up or down? Quick answer. Okay, you're in the inelastic portion of your demand curve. You raise your price. Will your total revenues go up or will they go down?
Down.
No, up. Because the consumers are unreactive. When you jacked up the price, they're not going to react. Inelastic, unreactive. So that means, yeah, you'll lose a few customers, but you're going to gain more in price, so your total revenues will rise. Like I said, though, that's okay. It's one of those things where it's not going to be gut for you at this point. It's going to be more like one of those painful memorization kinds of exercises. Make sure you know, because I will ask you that a couple of different times on this exam. So make sure you know how to do that. I will ask it. I ask that. Whoa. Okay. Average cost. Total costs, average fixed cost, average variable cost. Know how to figure out those kinds of questions. There were a couple actually on the first exam. Nothing new. Won't ask you anything radically different. It's just that you'll have to figure out, well, if I tell you the fixed costs are and the variable costs are and the output units are, what can you tell me the average total cost is? That might be a way I say, here's the fixed costs. Here's your variable costs. Here's your output level. Now, you tell me, what's your average total cost? That kind of a question. I'll ask those. I'll just give you several of the parameters, like the fixed cost, variable costs, and the output level, and you'll have to find me the average total cost. Or maybe I'd give you several other things and have you find something else. Yes, I do.
It's on this one.
Huh?
It's on this one for some reason.
What is?
The cost structure.
Yes. It's going to be there. That formula, she's going to be there. Yeah. If you don't want me to put it there. Dude, the whole point of that is, and you, by the way, do have a 4x6 note card, or a formula card, rather, for the exam. But know this, there will be those formulas. That formula sheet will be there. The idea, my theory there is that anyone, even a practitioner, can go to a book and open up a damn formula, find the formula. The trick is, do you know how to use the formula? You know what formula to use, and do you know how to use it correctly? That's what will distinguish you. If you have to do this in the real world, which some of you actually will, some of this stuff, it'll get to be in your memory once you've done it enough times. But if I'm trying to get long-term retention of formulas from what you're doing in this class, then I'm going to be massively disappointed. The long-term retention of formulas is just not going to happen unless you're a practitioner of a field. By the way, make sure, going back to the early stuff of the course, do make sure that you know the difference between the types of economies, the paradigms, the market, the traditional, and the command economies. I might even ask you, what would be an example of a command economy? North Korea, United States, Canada, Russia, something like that. What would be a socialist economy? Well, that's going to be more difficult now that the United States is buying up all the industries that failed. Know the difference between economy and economic profit, for God's sake. Okay? No. What do I mean? Opportunity cost. If there is any one concept I want you guys to come out of this class with, 40 years from now, I'm going to see you walking down the street. Young heart. You'll be 60 by then, but still you'll be young because I'll be like a fossil. What the hell is opportunity cost? And if you answer me, I can die a happy man. I don't want to die a sad man. So that's something that I want you to understand as a deep concept. And why in economics we are so much better than accounting majors. Because, I'm talking to an accounting major here. Because we recognize all of the costs. The costs on paper don't tell us the whole story. You could be making a profit in accounting in a business and you still suck because you are not making as much as you could working for someone else. Your opportunity cost of your time as the entrepreneur is part of the calculus of up or down. Now, let me go back. Do you remember that? Do make sure that you remember and study about the dynamic of the marginal cost and the average cost curves. If marginal cost is below average cost, if the cost of the last unit is below the average cost, it's going to drag down the average cost. But if the marginal cost, the cost of the last unit, is above the average cost, then it's going to pull the average up. They bottom out, the place where they meet is where marginal cost equals marginal revenue. That's at the bottom of an average cost curve. Make sure this stuff goes back way in this course because you've gotten a lot of content. So you'll have to shake that back out of your minds and remember it. On the final exam, I am going to put a table of quantity, price, total revenue, marginal revenue, total cost, marginal cost, and profit. And I'll give you some of the numbers. Then you'll have to fill in the table to answer the questions. Real big. No. I should just project this onto the, the quantity. I take you from a quantity of 0 and a price of 45 to a quantity of 15 and a price of 15. Now, actually, that's almost enough so that you could probably work out part of the table yourself before the stupid exam. But then I give you a couple of the numbers after that. Like the total revenue, which remember is price times quantity, marginal revenue, and then I give you the total costs, all of the total costs, but then you'll have to find the marginal cost. That's not hard. And then you have to figure out the profits. And I'm going to ask you some questions about this table that you filled out. This will take you the most time on the exam. Okay? Just make sure that you can do it. I'm going to ask you I'll tell you right now two things I'll ask you. If this is a monopolist, what is the monopolist going to produce and what price will they charge? If it's a perfect competitor, where will the industry produce and at what price will the product sell? There's no question. Those will be two of the questions I ask you. You've just got to produce the table. It's not that bone crushing stuff. Remember with labor, those labor tables, those were way too much like work. This is the old this is the old gospel stuff, you know, just figure out total revenue, price times quantity, marginal revenue, subtract one from the next. Just the old stuff, which actually, when you look back in retrospect, that's actually very easy. I'll ask you some antitrust questions. Nothing wildly different from what I asked you on exam two. I'm just trying to get you to know antitrust law. And one of the reasons that I want you to know antitrust law is because a lot of things that happen these days are just so blatantly in violation of antitrust law that if you know the basics, you're going to think that you're in an alternate universe. How is this happening? Why is this happening? I know there is a law against this, so how come it's happening? Well, I can't answer that for you. That's for you to decide why it happens. But I want you to come out of this course and know that, yes, there is smoke being blown up your butt. Things are happening that just should not happen. Monopolies are forming. Microsoft was allowed to create a form, and then it was spanked. Google is a massive, global, dangerous monopoly. It should be stopped. People should be stopped in their tracks. And yet it's not happening. So I want you to come out of this course not being all kumbaya, isn't Google such a wonderful thing? I want you to understand that it's a dangerous thing and it's an illegal thing. And the fact that we don't stop these things says something about us as a society, that we're too afraid to stop these monopolists, and then we'll pay the price later. Just like we did with old John D. in another era. Now I've got that pain in my... price floors, price ceilings, surpluses and shortages. Know those, okay? Make sure you know those. Long run. Know the basics of long run average cost curves. Well, we got economies of scale, constant return of scale, diseconomies of scale. A little bit, go back in your notes and make sure that you know what I was talking about with the survivorship principle. Giving you a little hint, something that might be worth you knowing. I'm going to I'll do a table where you'll have to work out the numbers and then answer some questions. I'm also going to give you one that's a graph, okay, and you'll have to look for where is the profit maximizing output and all that. Remember, where do you find profit maximizing output? Where is it? Where? That I want you to have tattooed on your ass. Revenue equals marginal cost. Yeah, see that? Don't point to where you've gotten it, son. For God's sake. That's your output level. And then, to find your price, you go up to the demand curve because that's what the market will bear. Don't look right across where marginal revenue equals marginal cost. Don't say, all right, here's your demand curve. Here's your marginal revenue curve. Here's your marginal cost curve. What I want you to do, well, a monopolist is going to produce there. At that output level, it can hit the consumer demand up there. That's where the price will be. And then the perfect competition would be where marginal cost, which is supply equals demand. And remember that a marginal cost curve is a monopolist version of a supply curve. In a competitive industry, the supply curve is the horizontal sum of the marginal cost curves of all the individual firms above their shutdown point. Make sure, by the way, you know where shutdown is. That's where you can't pay your variable costs. If your price is below your average variable cost per unit, then you have to shut down. Make sure you know where shutdown is. I will do that one again. I promise you should be able to nail this one where I show you the four classic curves, the marginal cost, average total cost, average variable cost, average fixed cost. I just label them 1, 2, 3, 4, and I ask you which one's which. I did it on the first exam. Promise you I would. I did it. It will be on the final again. It is one of those just classic things. You know I'm going to ask it. Damn well better get it right. Make sure you know about that natural monopoly stuff. Elasticities. Know the different kinds of costs, too. Opportunity costs, sunk cost, economic cost versus accounting cost. Know about all the different costs. And as far as price elasticities, also make sure that you know income elasticities. Okay? The luxury goods as opposed to normal goods as opposed to inferior goods. And also make sure you know about consumer and producer surplus. I asked this before, and I want to make sure that you study this. Know the difference between a short-run supply curve, which is what we usually kind of deal with, and the longer-run supply curves. What is it about long-run supply curves that is often different from short-run supply curves? You remember that quite often we'll find that long-run supply curves are more elastic. Sometimes perfectly elastic. In fact, strangely, in some industries, the long-run supply curve can be negatively sloped. Now, I'm reaching out on a limb here. I've got to be a little careful about this. But an interesting example of a long-run supply curve that I would propose to you would be negatively sloped would be computers. God, I mean, back in the old days, computers were like you invested your life savings to have your first computer. When I was working on my PhD, I wanted to have a laptop. I mean, it was just like I had to sell my ass to get the thing. And now they offer them on Craigslist $100 for a laptop. So there's a long run. There's been no question that the price of computers has fallen. Now, that might begin to change because, to be realistic with you, right now we're coming to the end of the technology, the silicon technology. So we're going to have to make a jump here pretty soon, and that'll be the quantum computing. It's going to have to happen rather soon. So things will change, but for silicon computers, yeah, there's probably actually a negatively sloped, slightly negatively sloped long-run supply curve. Know the difference between different, I should be a little careful here. Make sure you know what curves look like based upon elasticity. If I said perfectly inelastic demand, what would that look like? It'd be a vertical curve, the vertical. If I said perfectly elastic, that would be a very flat curve. So make sure you know the difference between those kinds of shapes. Herfindahl Hirschman Index, I'll ask again. And just one last thing. Make sure that you know the details of the differences between types of industries. I did that on this exam, and it got you, especially monopolistic competition. What are the characteristics of perfect competition? What about monopolistic competition? In monopolistic competition, there's a characteristic difference between long run and short run. The short run, you've got the monopolistic part. Long run, you've got the competitive part. What is it that is unusual about oligopolies? You can see an industry that's oligopolistic that had about the same number of companies as an industry that was monopolistically competitive. The difference would be ease of entry, for one thing, and also pricing strategy. Normal companies price for the day, for the short run, to make it through the holiday season, to make it to the next month's accounting statements. Oligopolies are strategic pricers. What is unusual about monopolies? Does a monopoly always earn an economic profit? I asked that on this exam. Absolutely not. Monopolies can lose money. It depends on where their cost curves are versus their demand and marginal revenue and marginal cost curves and all that. Know what a monopoly is. Know what a natural monopoly is as opposed to a regular monopoly. So make sure that you have that distinction in your mind among the different types of, industries. What we assume, what are our assumptions about those. Do you have any questions for me? Yes.
The final exam is Thursday at 8,
is that right? Dear God, it is Thursday at 8. Yes, I'll put it up on the scrolling marquee, but I think you are right. God, 8 o'clock in this freezing weather on Thursday. That's okay. You got all this time to study. You know how to contact me. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.